Good morning, boys and girls, or afternoon, sorry. Thank you for all waiting so long and coming out to hear me. I know it's been a long day and it's been nice and warm, so appreciate you taking some time out of your afternoon to listen to me. My name is Glenn. I'm a citizen of Canada, but I'm here now in Freeport. And if I were you in your place, I guess I'd be asking, who is this guy and why is he standing on a box in Freeport? I'm a father of two children. I'm married to a good woman. But for most of my life, I was a reprobate before God. Though I was a religious man, I was in church every Sunday and very involved in my church. I was a reprobate, and God saved me from my sin. And though I deserve the wrath of God to pour out on me, He saved me from my sin. And I am so thankful to what He has done for me. Though I deserved hell, He gave me mercy. And because of that, I'm doing what I can to obey His command, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, both to lift up and glorify the name of my Savior that saved me from death and damnation in hell, and out of compassion for souls that were just as I was, lost in their sin, though they may think themselves clean. Many are not. Although they may be religious and call themselves a Christian, many are like I was, and they're just pretending. So that's why I'm standing here before you today. And I know in our modern culture, it's a little bit strange for a man to come stand on a box on a street corner with a Bible in his hand. But how can I do anything but warn those that are subject to God's wrath to flee from the wrath to come? There is a day in which we will give answer to God, whether we are good or evil. And I want to warn you, before you stand before God, well, there's still a chance to turn and have your sins forgiven. Today we're going to look at the book of John, chapter 1. But before I open up the Word of God, I just want to point out one little sentence out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. It says, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." That is what I ask of you as you hear me. I am not an eloquent man, and I am nobody special. I'm a nobody that's telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody.
This is John chapter 1?
John chapter 1, sir. All right. But all I ask for you is to harden not your hearts. If what I tell you today is truth from the Word of God, heed the truth and obey what God says. Remember that I'm a failing man, so although I am an imperfect preacher, please look past me to the truth from the Word of God, sir, as you hear me preach. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus Christ, in the beginning, is eternal, and He is our Creator, and He is God Himself. In the beginning, God, the Word of God starts, in the beginning, God.
Can you repeat that again? I'm just going to get the full understanding.
Yeah, can you just come around in front of me a little bit so I can see you? That'd be great. In the beginning, God, it said, Let us make man in our own... Just give me a little bit of space. That'd be great, sir. Let us make man in our own image. So we see that Jesus Christ existed from the beginning. He is God the Son. And He is an eternal being.
Could you explain that first? I don't get this. In the beginning was God. Could you explain that? I don't understand.
Okay, we'll tell you, if you just listen to me preach for a few minutes, and then we'll sit and I'll go over all your questions. I'd be glad to talk to you. But this man was wanting to know about in the beginning God. Well, God predates time. God is eternal, always was, is, and always will be. God created time. He created everything we see, and He created you and me. So thus, we are responsible to Him. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The scriptures also say that Christ is the creator and the sustainer of all things.
What do you mean by in the beginning of the word? What do you mean by that? I don't know.
The word is eternal. The word is spirit. The word is in essence of God.
You mean the word, the scriptures?
The word is another name for Jesus Christ. Oh. And the word here is the spirit of God.
The word was the God. The God is the Son of God.
The light shines in darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness of the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but the will of man, but of God. Everyone that is born again, any one of you that says you're a Christian and you have been born again, you've been born only by the grace of God again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.'" And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, and He has made Him known. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus Christ said. When we look and we read about Jesus Christ, it's God Himself, your Creator, who condescended to become one of His creation. And we need to know why. First of all, He is the Creator. Second of all, we flip over in our Bibles to the 17th chapter of Acts. What other role does Jesus Christ play? Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed, and of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. We see that Jesus Christ is not only your Creator, He is your judge. When the scriptures say that it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment, we also see that when you're judged in righteousness, the man who has been pierced for your sin will also be your judge, that you will stand before him with his hands and his side and his feet pierced for sin. But Jesus said something interesting. If we look back in the book of John, one of the last things we read was He talked about Moses. But in the 5th chapter of John, He said something interesting. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope." What does the scriptures mean when they say that Moses will accuse you before the Father? What does that mean? It's something that's maybe foreign to our modern understanding of the gospel. But what does it mean that Moses will be the one to accuse you? Well, what did Moses give us? We open up into the writings of the books of Moses. On the 20th chapter of Exodus, what do we see that Moses gave to us? God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. And this is the reason the law was given. The law was given to show man his true state before God. The law cannot cleanse you. Like we talked yesterday, When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror shows you yourself in truth. If you need to wash your face, you don't grab the mirror and scrub your cheeks with the mirror. It would be ludicrous. The mirror lets you simply see yourself in truth. So for a few minutes today, if you'll be patient with me, we'll open up God's law. We'll help you to see yourself in truth as God sees you, because all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Or elsewhere it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Who here has kept that commandment? Who here has, for their entire life, has loved the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? If you say you have, I would say that you have a problem with arrogance and pride. Because no one is here has loved the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Most people will actually love themselves, love money, love other things far more than they love God that created them and gave them all those things. The second commandment, you should not make yourself a graven image. It's a commandment against idolatry, making statues to worship. But we also break this commandment by making a god in our own mind, a god that's okay with your sin. Is it possible that you may have made up your own idea of who Jesus Christ is, of who God is, a God that's okay with your sin, with your favorite pet sin? Sorry, you have to go, sir. Be honest with yourself. Is the Jesus Christ you worship the one that the Scriptures tell us about that has no patience for sin? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's the arrogance of us as human beings. The God that gave us life. And we will simply take His name and use it as a cuss word. The name of Jesus Christ is a cuss word. Or we will say, oh my, and we'll insert the name of our Creator. Godly Jews in the Old Testament would not even speak His name for fear of dishonoring Him. Even to write it down, They had a euphemism, the way they would write the word of God, the name of God down, for fear that they would dishonor Him. Have you dishonored His name? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you always taken one day out of seven to honor Him, the Lord your God? Honor your father and mother. Have you always honored your father and mother your entire life? Have you never talked back to your parents? Have you never disobeyed them? Always obeyed them first time, every time? See, if you have not, you have dishonored your father and mother, and God will hold you accountable. God says He will by no means clear the guilty. And when I come before you and I'm standing on this stool and I'm telling you of the showing you the sin in your own life, please understand, I do not come here to say that I'm better than anyone. I've broken every single one of these commandments. And if God gave me justice, it would be the wrath of God poured out on me. But because of God's mercy, I have a different future. We'll talk more about that in a minute. You shall not murder. Now hopefully those who are listening to me have not committed murder. I would feel much more comfortable. But have you committed murder in your heart? Because the fifth chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, if you've called someone a fool or an idiot, you're guilty of murder in your heart. It's important distinction to understand that we are not just guilty and judged by the things we do that others can see. But we're judged by the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Every idle word we speak, we will give answer of on the day of judgment. You shall not commit adultery. Jesus also said in that same chapter, you've heard it said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you've looked at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Now, sir, as you put your headphones in to blot me out, I ask you to really consider, is what I'm saying the truth, or is your conscience bothering you about what you're hearing today? Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? And if you're a woman here today, if it's wrong for a man to look with lust, it's also wrong for a woman. Are you an adulterer at heart? Well, you have to give answer on the day of judgment. The Word of God says no adulterer will enter the kingdom of God. You shall not steal. If you've stolen something, even if it's small, you're a thief. And the word of God says you will be judged. You shall not bear false witness, or you shall not lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The scriptures say, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he that breathes out lies will not escape. And you shall not covet, or jealously desire something that belongs to somebody else. See, this is how Moses accuses you, shows you through his law, and the intention that God had in creating and giving us his law was to see yourself in truth. So you would see yourself as a sinful wretch before God, in need of mercy. The wrath of God in the 13th chapter of Romans says, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. See, God is a loving God. God is also a just God, and he will judge those that break his law. God hates, it says in the fifth Psalm, God hates all those that do iniquity. And iniquity is simply breaking God's law. Because of your heart, an impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself under the day of wrath when God's judgment shall be revealed. And this should be sobering as we hear these words of truth. We hear these words that you will stand and be judged before God. And it should bring fear in your heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you are fearful in that day of judgment, it's the beginning of hope for you. If you have fear in your heart when you think of standing before God, this is the beginning, because you have seen yourself in truth. You have seen yourself as God sees you, even just a little bit. But it is the goodness of God that will bring man to repentance. Back to the same chapter, the first chapter of John we were reading earlier, further down. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descending and remain is he that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. What does it mean when we read in this chapter that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? Well, the Lamb of God, if you remember in your Bibles, the Old Testament, a lamb would be offered up, killed, and his blood shed as an offering for sin. But this is only a shadow of what was to come, that God himself would descend in human form. That God the Son would take on a body, and he would live a perfect life on this earth. Amen. And though each one of us has sinned before God, he was without sin. He was not deserving of any kind of punishment. He was falsely accused, nailed to a cross, and hung up, or he bled, and he died. God poured out the punishment of hell on him that you deserve. He is the sacrifice of sin. For sin. Many years beforehand, more than 400 years before Jesus died on the cross, the following passage was written 400 years ahead of time. Behold, my servant will act wisely, and he shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted, as many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, For that which was not has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like the root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Jesus came as a suffering servant. He is the King of glory, but he came in humility and humbled himself to shed his blood for your sin. But have you obeyed him? He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Beyond him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb before led to his slaughter, and like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? Stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yes, it was the will of God to crush him, and he has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteousness. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he will divide the spoil with the strong. For he has poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and made transgression for the transgressors. This is an explanation of why Jesus Christ has died, and that he died for your sin. And it was written 400 years before he was even born. It's an amazing thing that God, in this alone, with one thing, this prophecy of the coming Messiah, has proven that he is Christ, he is King. And now that you know the truth, that you are a sinner before God, you have violated God's law and deserve punishment, and that God has poured out the blood of his Son for your sin, you must respond. Also in the prophet Isaiah, it was written, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Our God is a just God, but God is rich in mercy and not willing that any should perish. But God will judge. So God now commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn from their sin, to turn from their wicked ways, and trust in the Savior. Repentance before God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is demanding that you turn. You really need to think, if you've not been born again, if you're not 100% sure that you've been born again, and that your life bears the fruit of repentance, think of your sin, and think of the goodness of God. He's given you every blessing you enjoy in your life, but you have sinned against Him. And though you deserve punishment, what an amazingly kind God who sent His own Son to die in your place. If the only way that your life could be saved was for the blood of my Son to be shed for you, I would let you die. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His own Son to die in your place. But you need to do something about it. If you're drowning at sea and I throw you a life ring, you must grab onto it. And it's the same thing. How can you reject so great salvation if you reject the truth that I am putting before you today? And let it be a sign to you. If what I'm saying to you today grates on you, if what I'm saying to you does not sit well in your heart, then maybe you should consider, where are you going to be for eternity? Because I am doing my best to preach to you the Word of God. And if what I'm saying to you irritates you, then this just may be a sign that you've not been born again and that you are a child of wrath that's storing up wrath unto the day of wrath by sinning before God, storing up judgment that God will pour out upon you on the day of judgment. I implore you to consider your sin and the great mercy and kindness of God. Repent of your sin and trust in the Savior. If you've got a Bible at home, open up your Bible and read, is what I'm saying the truth? Is what I've told you what the Word of God says? I would not tell you a lie. But if it's the truth, then obey it. Because God is worthy to be served. In 1837, there was a man named Robert Murray McCain, and he wrote a hymn. I'm just going to read the words to you. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking over life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start to shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven is I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sharp as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. If you've been saved for your sin, you owe much, and you must serve Him. God is offering such a great salvation to you. Repent and trust in the Savior. Now, if you're listening to me and you don't know 100% for sure that you've been born again, I have a small tract here. It says, are you a good person? And in very simple terms, it just outlines what I've told you today. If you don't know that you've been born again, or if you just like to read more about what I've talked to you about, I urge you to come get one of these from me. Did you get one, sir? If any of you would like to talk, I'm going to hang around here for a few minutes. If you like prayer, come up and talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to you. Thank you for your patience. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. Thank you.